Alachim Beis Perik Yud Ches Pasuk Yud Zayin. So Chizkiyah has sent a tribute, including the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, to try to buy off Sancheirev. So the question is, did he take the tribute and leave and then come back? Or did he attack immediately despite accepting the tribute? So he took all the money and then he attacked anyway. So it's hard to tell. Certainly from the Psukim here, it doesn't exactly say. But in the meantime, now three Assyrian officials are on their way to tell Chizkiyah to surrender the city of Yerushalayim. Vayishlach melech Ashur es-Tartan. So the king of Ashur sent three men. The first was Tartan, who was the military commander and deputy to the king. Ves Rav Saris, and Rav Saris, who is the chief official, and with the name Saris as part of his name, was the head eunuch of the court of Ashur. Eunuchs were somewhat commonplace in ancient world societies, often in positions that involved them to interact frequently with the royal harem or the royal queen. They were the only guys you could trust, I suppose. But in this case, he was one of the chief officials, and he was kind of the head of the party that's arriving. And finally, Ves Rav Shakei. And Rav Shakei is the third. Now, Rav Shakei is a very interesting fellow. Some say the word's meaning, Rav Shakei, like Rav Mashke, is he's the head of wine. He's the wine butler. But it might mean a kind of centralized government position. He might have been a lower official. So he might really have been just the Sar HaMashkim. But Rav Shakei is an interesting guy. And we're going to see him more than once. And he is going to be the one to do the main talking at the Jews who are there on the city walls. So almost all commentators agree that Rav Shakei was a renegade Jew who was now on the side of Ashur. He might have been sent even as a Sar HaMashkim type because of his fluency in Hebrew and Aramaic to be able to talk to the Jews. But most agree that he was a Jew. He might have been one of the northern tribes captured and taken into exile by Ashur. Either way, he is usually characterized as an apostate, as a traitor to the Jewish people, accepting the religion of Ashur because of some of the things that he's going to say, and serving them, and rising to a high position along the way as he does so. Sancheirev, the Me'amloe, speculates, may have chosen a Jew on purpose to send as a messenger because the Jewish people would be more easily persuaded to surrender by one of their own telling them to do so. What Rav Shakei really does not get is the importance of the service in the Beis HaMikdash and the centrality of that in terms of the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he is from the northern tribes, he had probably never been to the Beis HaMikdash or Yerushalayim in his life. And so his connection to God is tenuous at best, if not completely eradicated by his own actions. And so some of the things that he's going to say are outright apikoursis, some of it outright lies, all of it designed to try to force the Jews to surrender. So where are they sent? Min Lachish, from the city of Lachish, the great and amazing conquering that Sancheirev had done. Lachish was a very large armed city, fortified city, that should not have been as easy to take as it was. His victory over it became a big thing to Ashur, destroying Lachish and taking it over. So from there he sent El HaMelech Chizkiyahu Bechel Kaved Yerushalayim. He sent these three officials, Rav Saris, Tartan, and Rav Shakeh, to Jerusalem, where they came along with Chel Kaved, along with a massive army that went with them. Vayalu Vayavo Yerushalayim. And so they went up. Yerushalayim always is a place that you ascend to, and they came to Jerusalem. Vayalu Vayavo Vayamdu Bis Olas Habarecha Helyona. And they found themselves now standing at the channel of the upper pool that was on Asher B'Mesilas Sedei Choves, that was on the path of the field of the launderers, of the washers. So there's a place by the city walls that's got kind of a flat plain next to it where all of the army can stand and amass in their fearsome glory with all of their gleaming armor and shields. It was a place where they could quite easily call out and be heard to all who are on the walls and perhaps even those who are beyond, beneath, inside the city. So it was a laundry area, and it's a laundry area that is now the site of international diplomacy, if you want to call it that. It's not really going to be a very diplomatic situation, as we're going to see from Rav Shaken, the terrible things that he's going to say. Excuse me. So, Yudches Vayikru El HaMelech, so they called out for the king, Vayetze Alehem, and who came out? Not the king, since the king of Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, sent three officials. The king of Yerushalayim, Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda, does the same thing. He sends out, Vayetze Alehem, Eliyakim ben Chilkiyahu, Asher al Haboyis. Eliyakim, the son of Chilkiyahu, was in charge of the house. Exactly what this means, these are mentioned earlier on in Shmuel Beis and in Melachim Aleph. We talked about these with Shlomo HaMelech and David HaMelech, where some of these people are named. Exactly what the positions consisted of, we're not sure. But he was in charge of the royal household, Eliyakim. The Shevna HaSofer, Shevna the scribe, the recorder, the Yoach ben Asaf HaMazkir, and Yoach ben Asaf, who was the historian. Shevna was the secretary, Yoach ben Asaf was the recorder, Yoach. Sorry, not Yoach. Interesting story about Shevna. Shevna actually is fairly complicated. He is brought down in Yeshaya that when the siege of Yerushalayim happened, many of the Jews took a bad attitude. And Yeshaya rebuked them. In Yeshaya Perek Chaf Beis, he gets very angry at them. He says, you're celebrating. You're on the housetops. A tumultuous, joyous city, joy and revelry. Slaughtering bakar, vatzon, cattle and sheep, eating meat, drinking wine. And you say, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That very famous English phrase, eat, drink, and be merry, Shakespeare said, for tomorrow we shall die. Apparently that originates in this siege of Yerushalayim by Sancheriv. If life is going to be short, let's enjoy it while we're here, because it's going to come to an end soon. So at the same time, they're on the one hand not really seeing the devastation that a siege causes, but on the other hand, they seem to be thinking that they're doomed. So Yeshaya just hollers at them. He said, Hashem has called for weeping and mourning and avelos and girding with sackcloth and doing all the things to do tshuva. And instead, you're all happy. So who does he single out? He singles out Shevna. And says that Shevna is going to be replaced by Eliyakim later. In fact, it seems to be here that it's possible that Shevna now comes out as a secondary figure and Eliyakim is in charge of him. The Gemara sees Shevna as Rabbi Israel calls him, the Talmud views Shevna as a sinister figure. His policy of revelry hides his true motive, which is to betray his king and instigate a surrender. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that when Sancheriv besieges Yerushalayim, right now at this moment in the Psukim, Shevna writes a note, which he attaches to an arrow and shoots into the enemy's camp. And the message was, Shevna and his followers are willing to make peace. Chizkiyah and his followers are not. Is he trying to stage a coup and overthrow Chizkiyahu? Does he appoint an alliance? Does he support an alliance with Ashur? Is it self-interest? Does he want to please the people of Yerushalayim by being a quisling? There are some who even insinuate that Shevna was a relative of the king. So Shevna actually is a person who the Gemara attributes very sinister motives to. He is not somebody to be trusted, and he does things here that are undermining Chizkiyah and undermining the commitment of the people of Yerushalayim to doing the right thing. But in the meantime now, it's time for a dialogue between Rav Shaken and the three Jewish officials, and it's not going to be pleasant, because Rav Shaken has only deep, nasty, undermining things to say.